What's up, everyone, and welcome back to Hot Take, where I, along with my co-host Nat, give you our hottest takes on all things NBA. It's been another minute. I think it's been like 2 weeks since we last met.
Little hiatus, but it's all
little
good.
Hiatus. Nice little vacation, nice little getaway, much needed. I would say I'm refreshed and ready to go, but I'm fighting a little virus. I don't know what's going on. So I might sound
also
busted.
Also shout out to taking a vacation in mid-January. Yeah, it's quite the time for vacation. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh, for yeah. Sure.
Peak time.
Also, you know, bad job by me. I went to Northern California, and you know, coming from New York at the time, it was like in the teens consistently. Like the weather was in the teens. Mm-hmm. California was, you know, high 40s in the morning, low 60s in the afternoon. So needless to say, like I brought like New York weather gear. Like I brought some t-shirts, some long sleeves, but then I had like sweaters. Way too hot for California. Like is that weird thing? You know what it's like being in the Northeast, where the minute temperatures hit 40, like you're almost in like t-shirt weather.
Yeah.
Like it's like, oh, that was a nice day. Yeah. I was dying out there, man.
I'm glad you enjoyed, though. I'm glad you enjoyed. You were near, you know, greatness. I mean, you weren't at the games or weren't at the arenas, but you know, you were still in the state of where the greatness lies. You know,
the Warriors.
I don't know. I mean, they're what, in the 10th seed now, 11th seed. I don't think they're great anymore.
The Sacramento Kings.
The purple and gold, baby. Purple and gold.
Oh, purple and white. The Sacramento Kings.
I mean, they are they are fourth in the West, I think, with no All-Stars.
I was about to say the All-Starless Sacramento Kings, but we'll get into that. We'll touch on that. But one of the things I wanted to do to cover like the first part of the episode was because it has been a minute since we last met. So like, what are some of the things that have transpired, NBA headlines since we last met, since we last spoke? For example, one of which was a lot of the trades that had happened, or not a lot, but there was a few trades that happened since last time we met, particularly for my team.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Miami traded away Kyle Lowry and some draft picks for Terry Rozier. It was a little bit rough there in the beginning.
As of
recording tonight, you know, Sunday, the 4th of February, we just lost to the Clippers by 8. But it was one of Terry's better games. He scored 17 points. So I think it's just growing pains. You know, he'll get there. Mm-hmm. Some other trades. Steven Adams to the Houston Rockets for Victor Oladipo.
And some picks, I think.
And some picks. I don't know what that really does for either team. I think, who would you say won that trade?
The Steven Adams one?
Yeah.
I guess the Grizzlies. Cause like I'm looking at like Houston's like front court depth, and like they don't really have. I mean, they have enough already. I mean, they have Şengün. I guess if you actually, who is their backup center? Now I'm thinking about it. There's not really a prominent name there, but I'm gonna say Memphis because they do need the draft picks, I guess, to kind of start building. I don't know, man. Like it's just. That trade was like the opposite of a Woj bomb. Like I don't know what that is. Like, what do you call it? But it's like a Woj firework. I don't know what you call it, but it's not that big of a deal to me. I'm gonna just say Memphis because I mean, I like in this day and age, like getting draft picks is pretty good. You know, like, everyone's trying to go through that route and you know acquire draft.
I think that's interesting. Possible. I would have said the Rockets just because it does bolster their front court. I mean, you have a young budding star in Alper and Şengün, and then you have Steven Adams. Like one of the things that that team has been missing for a little bit now. I mean, they kind of got it with Fred VanVleet and Dylan Brooks, but like a true veteran, you know, kind of like a UD role but I feel like Steven Adams is still going to contribute more than you. Why'd you make a face?
Like Giannis? UD is one of one, man. I don't think you can compare Steven Adams to what UD can provide. That's coming from you. That kind of hurts too.
Those are a couple of the trades that happened. Were there any other trades that really shook the needle?
Or like, no, I don't really think so. I mean, we are approaching February 8th. I think on Thursday, that's the deadline. So, maybe this week, obviously, we'll get more.
Well, with some of the other things that have happened NBA news wise, one that doesn't, I don't know if it, well, the biggest one obviously would be Joel Embiid getting injured. And I think now he's going to have a procedure done. So he's definitely going to miss some time, which really, really sucks for my league with you. I feel like you've been truly benefiting this week from Joel Embiid's absence on my roster. Yes,
because we are facing each other this week. Today's last day of the matchup. I'm up 6-3. Probably got to thank Embiid for that, to be honest. You know, he carried me to a win by not being there.
I think you have the season sweep, if I'm not mistaken. I think so. I think you beat me the first time, too.
I got to check that because, I don't know, I always felt like you got the numbers on me last time because you have all the big men. I couldn't win the rebounds category. I couldn't win the blocks category. So, yeah.
If I remember correctly, like, you squeezed it out, like, on the last day. I'm not entirely sure. I might be mixing it. I am in four different leagues, so I could be mixing it up there.
Busy man right there. Yeah.
While you look into that, there was also the Zach LaVine news. He opted in for surgery to be out for the rest of the season. I heard some funny rumors that he did it because he heard that he's going to get drafted to Detroit. So he's like, I'm gonna do surgery right now. I feel like if you remember from The Last Dance, Scottie Pippen kind of did the same thing, kind of as an FU to the Bulls. He waited like 2 months into the season before opting in for surgery and ended up being out for the good chunk of the season. That's what made me think of this LaVine surgery.
Again, something else. From a fantasy perspective, by the way, from a you know, fantasy league perspective, I have Kobe White in my team. LaVine kind of out for the season helps me in my Kobe White shares. Very happy on this side for sure.
Did you draft him or is that waivers?
I drafted him too, like late in the game.
Great pick. Yeah.
Thank you.
Great
pick. Thank you.
Kudos to you, my friend. That's why you're the commish.
That's right. Number two right now in the league. It's not rigged, I swear. It's not rigged, I swear.
I'm going to report this. Other news, Miami at one point in time during our hiatus was on a 7-game losing streak. And each one was more painful than the last. Like, I thought it was never going to end. Like, and then, so.
Wait. So they won in the past 2 weeks?
They've won twice now. They've won back to back. Well, they lost tonight. But prior to tonight, they won back to back.
I didn't even know that. I thought they were losing this whole time.
No, they the most recent one, they beat the Washington Wizards.
Okay.
And then.
I mean, a win's a win, right?
A win's a win, man. I'll take it. At this point, I'll honestly take it. And the other one was against the Kings. They beat the Kings the other night. Yeah. So that was a good one. It made me really sad because, if I'm not mistaken, their sixth loss in a row was while I was in California. And it was to Brain's team, the Boston Celtics. So,
oh, man. They got beat by 30-plus.
Hey. Don't say bad words, man. Let's keep it PG.
Keep it PG. Okay, sorry. We'll cut out in post.
Something else that I thought was kind of somewhat noteworthy was your team, Los Angeles Lakers. Your so-called king, He had this tweet of an hourglass. People were speculating, very cryptic. I have a theory.
Okay, let's hear it.
I think it signifies that Darvin Ham's time is running out.
Darvin Ham or D'Lo? Which one?
D'Lo's improved his stock. So he might be out. He might be shipped out fairly soon. But I would bet on Darvin being out sooner than D'Lo. What do you think of my assessment?
I mean, okay. Before we get to the Lakers, though, I do want to revisit a previous topic because we can't just gloss over this. Joel Embiid's out probably for the rest of the season, I'm assuming, right? Or at least 2 months, maybe, right?
Yeah.
That changes everything, right? For the Sixers, at least. I mean, that changes everything for that team. It allows the Knicks to maybe get up more in the rankings. It allows, you know, the Heat to kind of go up too, because I don't think they're going to sustain that level of success, the Sixers, you know, for the rest of the season. So, you know, I guess assuming that he comes back at the end of the season, ready for the playoffs, and they're in like a mid-tier seed or whatever, like, do you think they can come back and win the whole thing? Should they just rest and be for the, like, the entire season, including playoffs, to get better and come back next year? Like, what is your prediction for his return?
Kendrick Perkins sometimes has the most outlandish takes. But he one of the things he said, and everybody thought he was nuts, was shut Joel Embiid out for the season. People are like, what are you talking about? This is while Embiid was like sitting out games, like when he you know, ducked that matchup against the Nuggets. This is when Kendrick came out and was like, just shut him down, because, you know, obviously he's injured. People are like, what are you talking about? So either Kendrick is absolutely crazy or he's a wizard. Like, how would you know that he was injured until the Warriors game, you know? So with that said, I feel like if they're smart, you have a solid team this year. Let them grow and develop without Joel Embiid and focus on next year. Like, maybe you can build up trade stock with one of the players that you do have. Maybe you could pick someone up in the offseason. I feel like Daryl Morey, the GM of the Sixers, knowing what we know now about Joel Embiid's injury, if you're looking long term, bigger picture, the top of the East is stacked with Boston and Milwaukee and the emerging New York Knicks. Like, that's tough. That's a tough beat. You never know with Miami. You never know with, like, the up and coming Pacers. But who, by the way, now have Pascal Siakam. That was another one.
That's right.
Yeah. Yep. And then you look at the West. The West is just stacked all together. Like, how likely, with the duo of Maxey and Joel Embiid, are you really going to make like a deep playoff run? So I feel like they're just going to shut it down, save it for next season.
And then also, there was also rumors that LaVine might come to Philadelphia and maybe like have a big three there with Embiid and Maxey. Now he's also out for the season. So yeah, I think it's just like bad luck all around for the Sixers. Like you said, there's Boston, Milwaukee, and New York. Like, that's going to be all three of them tough outs if you're the Sixers. And with Embiid this hurt, and he's like your, you know, leader or master of the group, I don't think you should risk him being out there just to try to make it work this year when there's a loaded West. The Knicks are the Knicks right now. Boston is elite. Milwaukee is, I don't know right now, but, you know, there's it's tough. And I think you're right. Like, I think Embiid should kind of sit out or, you know, play less if possible.
I have a hot take for you.
Go ahead.
It might be a three-team trade, possibly a four-team trade, but somehow, some way, Joel Embiid ends up in Miami.
I knew you were going to say that. I knew it. I knew you were going to say that.
Spicy.
But then you have to trade off. You have to trade Bam, obviously, for that kind of trade. Like, you got to trade Bam away. Are you okay with that?
Put Bam at the four. Keep him at the four.
Give me all your good players, and in turn, I'm going to give you Haywood Highsmith. Yeah, yeah, that works.
Hey, that works very well. On Haywood Highsmith. They could get back Josh Richardson.
Yeah, definitely works out for both sides. Definitely fair. Yeah. Okay.
Nikola Jovic. Hey.
Duncan Robinson. Actually, I don't know. I would keep him at this point. He's been like the trade rumor king for the past few years, but at this point, he's elevated his game. He's a better all-around player now. I think he can stay in Miami now.
I think
maybe
so.
Maybe it's Tyler Hero.
Is he culture?
Yeah. Transformative. Very, very.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so back to your question about the Lakers, right? Like, what do I make of the current situation with them, right? And obviously, we have the trade deadline looming in a few days. We don't know if they're going to make a move or if they're going to stay with their current roster and try to see where it goes. But as a fan, you know, this past week, watching all those games, we lose to the Rockets, we lose to the Hawks, we win against the Boston Celtics, fully loaded, without LeBron and AD. We then Me too. It was great. We then beat the 9-game winning streak New York Knicks and killed their streak at Madison Square Garden, you know, on a road game, with LeBron and AD, but still a game from Austin Reeves. He was great. I don't know, man.
Who had the best lockdown defense on the unguardable or supposedly unguardable Jalen Brunson? Who was it?
It was the GOAT, LeBron James.
39-year-old LeBron James.
Also, did you see the block party going on in New York? AD's block party?
Oh, he blocks, it's a back-to-back?
Blocks Josh Hart, you know, and he's like away from the rim. He comes back into the play and blocks Jalen Brunson.
Yeah.
Oh, so beautiful. So beautiful. I mean, the switch to take out Torian Prince and start Hachimura instead, I think over time that's going to get better because of that added length and size in the front court. Because, you know, I mean, Torian Prince is a good, you know, 3-and-D guy, but at some point, with Vanderbilt out now, by the way, who's out possibly for the whole season, with Vanderbilt gone, you have Hachimura to step up, you have Jackson Hayes to step up, and I think now that you have Hachimura in the lineup, you get that length, that shooting, that all-around, you know, game that's good with LeBron and AD, you know, next to him. And I think this group can work. Like, I don't think we need a trade. I think if we because yesterday and but the Boston game proved it. Like, this team can win. Okay, we beat the best team in the league without our two best players. Like, that's, you can't overlook that. You can't dismiss that. Okay, I mean, I know it's a game in February. You know, it's whatever, right? But it still matters, right? Because we, like, the supporting cast just proved that they can support LeBron and AD, and with D'Lo, you know, constantly getting in the trade rumors, like, I think he can stay, but that fit with Reeves is tough because the Knicks game on Saturday, yesterday, he was subbed out, benched for the rest of the game. It was Reeves in the main point guard position. And if you really want to get D'Lo out for DeJounte Murray or somebody else, go ahead. But I don't think it matters either way. If D'Lo stays or goes, I think the other pieces of the team, you know, beyond that, we'll be okay. So, I guess.
I had a couple of quick notes.
Yeah. Go ahead.
On the Celtics game, I think it was one of those situations where, and I experienced this. Currently, I'm wearing a Buffalo Bills T-shirt. That's my football team.
Rip.
For people who are in New York, they know very well what happened the very first game of the NFL season between the Buffalo Bills and the New York Jets. On the fourth play of the game, Aaron Rodgers, quarterback of the New York Jets, goes down, tears his Achilles. The backup quarterback comes in, Zach Wilson, who's had a horrendous tenure there in New York. They somehow come out and beat the Buffalo Bills. And I think it was the mindset of the Bills, like, oh, we don't got to worry about Aaron Rodgers now. We got this in the bag. But the Jets had a different, you know, they had a different mindset, different idea, different plan. I think it was a similar situation with the Lakers and Celtics where the Celtics, to your point, it's a game in February, late January, early February, and it's one of those situations where now they know, okay, LeBron and AD aren't playing. We're fully stacked. We got this in the bag. That is not how the Lakers played, though. They played like a
championship team.
They played like a group of guys who had a chip on their shoulder that had something to prove, and I think it was their opportunity for certain guys to step up and be like, okay, LeBron and AD are playing, now's my time to shine. And they took complete full advantage of that. If you think about it, one of the things that stuck out to me, which is why I bring this up now, it might be a little bit of a concern in the future for the Lakers, which is why, you know, I feel like D'Lo having trade value might be key for you guys. In that game against the Celtics, your team in general is not known for three-point shooting, but they shot lights out against the Celtics.
They did.
And who was one of the biggest contributors to shooting lights out from deep for you guys? Aside from Austin Reeves and D'Lo. Do you remember?
Torian Prince? Gosh, who was it? Was it Rui? No. I'm forgetting.
You mentioned him earlier. Now he's out for the season.
He shot like 2 threes that game. Relax.
But I feel like those were big threes.
Oh, yeah.
Vanderbilt. He was hitting shots. Outside shots, but now he's injured. I don't know, like, how that contributes, you know, long term with your outside shooting, not having a shooter like that, a good 3-and-D guy. So I'm kind of on the same boat with you. I would keep D'Lo just because when you don't have AD or LeBron or both at the same time, he has that like irrational confidence to kind of take over a game and launch threes that, you know, players of his level wouldn't normally take.
Yeah.
But I mean, if they were to trade him, I personally, I'm not a huge fan of the DeJounte Murray thing. I don't know why. I just feel like you're getting the same player, if you ask me. Like, yeah. Like almost. It's almost the same player that you're getting. So what's the point?
His play did bother me last night, though. Like D'Lo's all-around game last night. He was turning over the ball. He was not really good on defense. Kind of letting Jalen Brunson go, you know, behind the door on him and cutting to the bat. It's like, it infuriates me sometimes because he is so good when he wants to be good. Well, like when LeBron and AD are there, he kind of like just, I don't know what he does, but he just kind of lessens his game a bit, you know?
I could understand that because against the Celtics, if I remember correctly, he had 3 turnovers in a row. But after that third turnover, they got the ball back. He runs down court on a fast break, hits the 3, like ice cold. But and he was like smiling.
That was the Warriors game. That was the Warriors game, by the way. It was the Warriors
game. Which one? Oh, Warriors game. Yeah. The Warriors game. Sorry, the Warriors game. Yeah. I'm like, bro, you just turned the ball over like 3 times and you're smiling. Like, but he laced it.
He
transition. You know, like
it's tough. And like I do want Darvin Ham gone. Cause I mean, at this point, the entire fan base is just turning on him and they don't like him at all. But it's also like, who would then replace him if he were to get fired? Like which coach on the market would be available to hire this late in the game? Like, would it be like a Terry Stotts or something? Like, I don't know. It's just like, I guess we'll keep
Mark Jackson.
Oh God.
What's wrong with Mark?
I guess we'll keep Darvin Ham. We'll have like the player coach LeBron on the sidelines behind his back, coaching everybody else like they always do. But no, I'm feeling very confident in the Lakers. I mean, they're currently 5 games back of the 6th seed. It's quite a journey, but I think they can get there. I mean, worst case, they'll get 7th or 8th and play only one game in the play-in like last year and win that and be a 7th seed. So I think we're good.
Okay, I think that's enough Lakers talk for now. That was a good amount of Lakers talk.
All right, fine. Back to Miami. All right.
No, Miami's not worthy of being talked about right now. Okay. They're like 2-9 or 2-7 or something like that right now. 2-10. In their last 12, something like that. Something crazy. But I want to stay in LA. Let's go to your not so far neighbors, the Clippers, who during our hiatus continued their crazy win streak. Just putting a whole bunch of games together. They have, if I'm not mistaken, since the beginning of December, is either them or the Knicks, since the beginning of December, have the best overall record. Either one. Both of them are just playing out of their minds, both the Knicks and the Clippers.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've been following that. You've been seeing that. I mean, it's all over social media. It's obvious in the standings. My question for you is, you have the New York Knicks and you have the LA Clippers. Between those two, in your opinion, who is the more legit title contender?
The Knicks, by far. I mean, when you ask that question, should we consider the conference that they're in, or just like the team only, like the just looking at the team and like how it's constructed, or is it like the team plus other factors like their conference, like their impotence, etc.?
I would say as constructed.
Well, like who's deeper is probably the Clippers. They have probably the deepest team in the NBA, but I think with them being in the West, competing against those teams in the West, I don't know. They've got a tall task in front of them. But the Knicks, like we talked about in the first half of the podcast, the Knicks have the chance to go to the conference finals or even win the East with Philly going down with Embiid, Milwaukee being shaky, and Boston being at times mentally untough or not tough. You know, it's. I think the Knicks, like, I think this is their window. This is their chance. The Clippers, every year we say they're going to be very good, and they end up not, you know, being good, just putting it plainly. So, yes, they have 4 Hall of Famers on their team. I get that. But they also just had the history of not, you know, like coming through for their fans in the playoffs. So, I think I'm going to go with New York Knicks. They're tough, you know, battle-tested. They have the good mindset, the good culture on their team. I'm going with them.
Oh, that's boring. I was going to say the Knicks too. Just because like the Lakers like injury history. I mean the Clippers. Like you never know what you're going to get. Kudos to Russell Westbrook, by the way, for joining the 25K club, 25,000 points.
Good job, Russ.
Yeah. we like Russ.
We do, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if only it could work in the Lakers territory, but it couldn't work out. So
the Clippers found a way to unleash him, though. I think that's great. Yeah, I just feel like then. But see, this is where it gets tricky because all it takes, like right now, Julius Randle's out for,
that's right,
you know, who knows how long. So how do they cope with that? I mean, I think it was a little bit tougher than last night losing to your team.
And then plus they have OG out for a bit with an elbow injury, I think. But
I
don't know. Like I think you maybe just slide OG to the four. He could kind of play the four. And then have like Hart and DiVincenzo being the two and three, like, you know.
You know, just to play like devil's advocate, I'm gonna go Clippers have the better chance. They're the more legit contender, just because they're so stacked that if like one of them goes out, someone else can cover. You know, once playoffs come around, we know what happens to James Harden, but that's when Paul George and Kawhi step in. You know, you have Russell Westbrook. So, and also, I feel like the big men for the Clippers, I feel, match up better than the Knicks. Because, yeah, I mean, you have Sims, Hartenstein, and Rand, but Randall's out. So I just feel like
Achua,
I
don't
know, I'd rather.
Robinson, yeah, if he comes back. Yeah.
Right. So right now, I would probably go the Clippers. But my heart says the Knicks.
But didn't Paul George and Kawhi Leonard blow a 3-1 lead in the bubble against the Nuggets? Am I remembering that correctly? Or?
No, yeah.
No, I'm just saying.
Yeah, but like you know, they didn't have Tyronn Lue coaching them. And they didn't have James Harden and Russell Westbrook, you know.
Okay. I do see them at this point atop four, like in the West. Like conference semifinals, they might be there, I think.
Also, aside from Zubac and Plumlee, I forgot they also have Daniel Tice, who he can hold his own.
Good bodies against Jokic when they're not together. Yeah,
yeah, and he could hit the outside shot too. Like he's sneaky good.
I mean, we got AD, we got Jackson Hayes, we got Christian Wood. Like, come on, man, stop playing with me. Stop, don't laugh, bro. Those are serious guys right there. They're not the Davis McGee and Dwight Howard type, but I mean it's close for this, you know, this version of the Lakers.
I don't know what you're talking about, bro. We got the All-Star Bam Adebayo. We have the no-name Orlando Robinson,
unknown player on ESPN. Yeah,
and we have what else do we have? Jamal Kane. Yeah, should know about that.
How about Jovic too? You're right about Jovic.
He's more of a stretch. He's a four. Yeah, doesn't really count. But one thing that the Knicks and the Clippers have in common is they have all-stars on their team, which is something else I wanted to talk about and go into because the all-star game is right around the corner. I have the list here, and I had a question for you. So we have it's going back to the old format with East versus West. I have to get your take on that. I've heard different arguments for it and against it. I'm old school. I like the East versus West. That's all I've grown up with. The last few years with the, you know, picking players, like that was cool. Like it was a cool.
I liked it a lot.
Little twist. Yeah.
I loved it.
The downside now, which we'll kind of get into. So let me read the rosters first.
Okay.
Okay. So for the West starters, you have Luka, KD, SGA, LeBron as the captain, and Nikola Jokic. Then for the reserves, you have D-Book, Steph Curry, AD, Anthony Edwards, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, Karl Anthony Towns. For the East, the starters, you have Giannis as the captain, Joel Embiid, which he's obviously going to be replaced. We don't know with whom. Tyrese Halliburton, Damian Lillard, Jason Tatum. And then the reserves, you have Bam Adebayo, Paolo Banchero, Jalen Brown, Jalen Brunson, Tyrese Maxey, Donovan Mitchell, Julius Randle. Obviously, he might be subbed out for someone else. First thoughts, East and West, who do you got winning?
Oh, the West. The West just sounds way more stacked. I feel like the East is like their starters and like players like, you know, kind of on the rise. Like half of those players in the reserve list for the East are like, you know, like Paolo's second year. Tyrese Maxey just got his first All-Star nod. Jalen Brunson.
Same with Jalen Brunson.
Yeah. It's like, players on the rise, but like the West is like all like proven players and Hall of Famers. So I mean, just off of that, I mean they're also a lot older than the East. Yeah, that could be coming into play when they play, but I'm going the West.
The only reason why I would say the East is because of Giannis. I think he just really cares so much about this contest. Whereas like on the West, like you have Nikola Jokic, he don't care. He's just going to be like goony the whole game. Luka is going to be taking like the craziest shots. Steph is going to be taking crazy shots. You have guys in the East where it's their first year, so they really want to like prove themselves.
Yeah.
Like I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if the East won just because they care more. That's just my take. Did I convince you? Did I sway you? Persuade you?
I don't know, because like there's no Embiid. Like Embiid makes that competition even more like fun and equal. Cause now like who do you replace him with? Is it does Bam go up to being a center now, like the starting center, and then you just have like another added reserve? Like I don't know. But
if Bam moves up, who would get the next nod?
Personally, I want Trae Young. Because Trae Young got snubbed like crazy from the All-Star game. But like there's just too many guards on that list. I don't know of a forward or a center from the East that would like replace that spot. Maybe it's like a Porzingis or Jared Allen or, you know, Miles Turner. I don't know, but it's like East is really tough in that position.
Yeah, I don't know who I would pick as a reserve.
I do think that they slide Bam over to the starting center for the starters.
Like I feel like KP would be a good one, but that gives you three Celtics in the All-Star game. And I have, you mentioned Trae Young being a snub. I have Derek White as a snub, which is kind of one of the things I wanted to talk about was like, we talked about like, if you were to give your top 3 to 5 All-Star snubs, who would you have? So obviously you have one is Trae Young.
Trae Young, yeah.
As currently constructed, like obviously we can't substitute him for Joel Embiid or Julius Randle. So with one of the other guards, who would you trade Trae Young for or switch out with? Or would you keep him out?
I mean, yeah, you're right. Maybe we'll just keep him out, I guess. But like, I don't know, like from the guard or center position, I'm sorry, forward or center position, who can replace Joel Embiid? Because like the East, like no one rings a bell. Nobody rings, you know, a sounding bell for that.
And I feel like the only one would be Kristaps Porzingis.
But he's right? Been, like, in and out of the, like, he's been in and out though. He's played like half of the game so far, or, like, you know, 3/4 of the game so far.
I feel like he's played a decent amount.
Like he like sits back to backs mainly. The like rest is you know, kind of like because he's very injury prone. Yeah, back to backs. Maybe Jared Allen, because he was stepping up for the Cavs when Mobley was out, Garland was out. You know, he's been a constant for them, so it could be him.
Goga Bitadze.
Or gosh, what's a Nemeas
Andre Keta. Drummond?
oh, Drummond.
Keita?
There we go. Keita, yeah.
Hey, Keita, man. Dang, you know my nickname for him?
Oh, wait. No, even better. The Nassus. Yeah. fan vote.
Hey, don't make fun of the Nassus. You might lose your job too, man. Oh, next man. Thing you know, I'm going to be hosting this thing by myself. Somehow you got fired. This is my podcast.
It's the first player with lowlights, not highlights, just lowlights. I see it on social media, all those lowlights.
It's the greatest thing, bro. I love watching it. If you need a good laugh, just watch the Nassus lowlights.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so you had Trae Young, but you would probably keep him out. I had Derek White, and this might be blasphemous, but like, to be honest.
Like, because I saw the list of like the third returns for all the voting.
Yeah.
And I was like, that list is kind of whack. Like the first five makes sense to me, and they're already in the All-Star game. It's like,
right.
But afterwards, it's like, it's like kind of like picking slim, you know?
Like, I would probably trade out Derek White for either Tyrese Maxey, or this might be blasphemous. People might get mad. Damian Lillard.
No, I'd agree. I'd agree with that.
I only say Maxey because, like, he started off the season really hot. I mean, just the other day, he had 51 points, which was amazing. Like, that was really cool. But then, like, aside from that, he's kind of, you don't hear too much. Damian Lillard, I feel like it's more so the name. And, like, obviously, he's playing alongside Giannis. But like, if I'm thinking all-star, I'm thinking someone that does it on both ends of the court consistently and, like, contributes heavily to his team, which is why I would say Derek White.
That's fair. But knowing the NBA and knowing how they, you know, construct the All-Star game and, like, you know, the politics behind it, they won't put Derek White in there. It's unfortunate, but he does deserve it. Yeah. They just won't put him there. That's the sad part.
For the East, do you have any other snubs aside from, I'm assuming we can agree on Trey and on Derek White?
Yeah, that's probably it.
Right? I think it's just those two. The West gets interesting, though.
The West got more. The West does get more, yeah.
And then I'll circle back to my whole point on this, but, like, for the West, who in your mind, like, let's alternate, who would be an apparent snub?
Well, actually, we did reference this in the first part of the podcast. The Kings have no All-Stars. They should have at least one All-Star, that being De'Aaron Fox. Like, I think the glaring reserve that seems out of place or not should be part is Cat. Like,
right.
I think Cat was probably put there because of stats mainly. I don't know. And winning, because the team's winning. But if I were to sub or trade people out, it'd be Cat for De'Aaron Fox. Do you agree?
I might even do. Sabonis has been really solid, man.
Oh, him too.
All the double doubles. But I thought it was interesting when asked about his All-Star nod, Anthony Edwards, his response was, it was very Jimmy Butler-esque, his response. He said, I don't care about none of that. All I care about is if Rudy gets it. So I felt like that speaks volumes when Cat gets voted as an All-Star, but you have your main guy wanting Rudy Gobert, which I feel like Rudy Gobert, I think, is more deserving than Karl Anthony Towns.
Oh, yeah. Just those two. Yeah. But
yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Like if I had to choose between Cat and. Like, I mean, he's not going to do much. But in terms of, like, deserving of an All-Star nod, like between Karl Anthony Towns and Rudy Gobert, I would probably give it to Rudy, honestly.
Yeah. Okay. That's a fair take.
Yeah. But I would say definitely De'Aaron Fox, Domantas Sabonis, little bit, like, I don't know, a smidge of Rudy Gobert. Is there anyone else from the West you feel got snubbed?
No, I mean, like, again, like, these are pretty fair assessments or pretty fair All-Star, you know, awards given out. Like, I don't know if we want to, like, talk about the Pelicans and maybe, like, an Ingram or Zion, but they haven't really shown that All-Star, you know, level this year. Denver, like, Jamal Murray, maybe, but that's a stretch.
Yeah,
that's a stretch.
So this brings me to my next point. Like, even just us discussing it, like, All-Star snubs, there were more from the West than there were from the East. And what if that's one of the downsides of having an East versus West? Whereas in, you know, years past, if you do just the 24 best players in the league, if we were to do it this year, there would obviously be more West players than there would be East players, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
So, like, it's kind of, and I think this is where the All-Star game in the late 2000s, early 2010s was so bad because, like, one conference was just so much more talented than the other conference.
Yeah.
And we'll kind of go through an exercise in a little bit to kind of showcase that. But this is what happens. This is what happens if you do East-West. One conference is way more stacked than the other. So you're going to have, like, right now in the East, whoever they replace Joel Embiid with and Julius Randle with, they're going to be levels below whoever the lowest is on the West.
Yep.
You know, I don't know. Like,
the West is going to smack the East. They're going to smack the East.
We'll see. I still got the East just because of Giannis.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. And Tyrese. He's never won anything. So I think he didn't win the in-season tournament. I think he wants to win All-Star game.
Also, the jerseys. I love the jerseys.
They are nice. They're nicer this year. They're so nice.
Yeah. Yeah. I tried to look for a Halliburton one. Sold out in minutes. Crazy.
I believe it.
Yeah.
I believe it. One of my favorite All-Star jerseys or concepts was what they used to do in the past, I think in the early 2000s, where you wear your jersey, but, like, East would wear, like, the away jersey, West would wear the home jersey. I thought that was dope. Like, you get to represent your team. Too. You know, it looked clean. I liked it. I sometimes I wish they brought that back. Like, if they did, like, a retro, like, All-Star game.
Yeah.
That would be the way to do it.
Maybe they want more jersey sales with these new concepts of
All-Star jerseys,
possibly. Yeah.
For sure. Staying with the All-Star game, I'm sure you saw it. For the three-point contest, there's going to be a Sabrina Ionescu versus Steph Curry. Who do you got?
I'm Ben Sabrina all the way. there was a funny tweet that I saw. It was like Steph Curry for charity, like whatever he plays for charity. And there was a picture of like one of like the All-Star like workers like testing out the three-point like floor, just like constant bricks. Like they quoted that with Steph Curry for charity. That's how he play. And it's just like a constant bricks. Do you remember that All-Star game where like I think somebody called him out and was like, Steph, like make a full court shot or half court shot to get, you know, this charity like thousands of dollars, whatever. He couldn't do it. Like four straight tries and he couldn't do it. So yeah, I'm going Sabrina just off of that. And I hope she shoots from the NBA 3-point line. Cause she could do it. She could do it and she could win too with that.
I feel like I got Sabrina winning if she doesn't let the pressure get to her. If she's in the zone, she's comfortable, I think she could beat Steph. I got Sabrina winning also. That's my take.
Do you think Steph might dial it back because it's, you know, this kind of competition?
I don't think he's going to take it as serious.
Yeah.
You know, which is a shame. I would want him to go hard, you know, like make it competitive.
He has to compete like Draymond did against Kevin Hart, you know, that one All-Star year. He's got to go that way, you know?
Yeah.
Lock in.
Locked in, baby. Before we get to like our closing segment, another storyline that came about that I kind of wanted to somewhat close with. I thought it was a really interesting story. I don't know if you heard about the Tony Snell situation.
Yes, I did. Yep.
Yeah. So Tony Snell, both his sons were diagnosed with a form of autism. And it turns out that Tony himself, you know, he got tested. He also is on the autism spectrum. Mm-hmm. And I think he's played a certain number of years in the league where if a team were to sign him right now, he would get like full benefits or coverage, medical coverage to help him and his sons with their conditions. So I know like right now there's like an NBA team, if like, any NBA team could sign him and then kind of help him out in that situation. I'm sure you and I are on the same page and both agree. Like we really hope that a team would be kind enough to make that gesture for Tony and for his family. A lot of people
to that point, I think unfortunately the deadline was passed. I think he had to sign by Friday. I think so. Yeah, he had to sign by last Friday with the team. I do hope that Adam Silver makes this one exception for him.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Like on, with Adam. His power, I think he would. But yeah, I think it was by Friday, I believe, with the reports. I'm not entirely sure, but I think it was by Friday to sign with the team. And
I mean, if so, right, then right, they got to make an exception, man. Like, come on.
For sure. Yeah.
And like Tony,
even Charles Barkley, kind of called out on it, you know, on a live TV, live national TV. So there's more awareness to it besides the like the articles and the reports. Like TNT, you know, like had that platform to like shout him out on it. So, yeah, I do hope he gets that full medical benefits for his life. Yep.
A lot of people don't even realize or they don't remember, but like Tony Snell was one of the original 3-and-D guys going between Detroit and the Pistons. I mean, Detroit and the Bucks. You know, he was a sharp shooter from downtown and he guarded multiple positions. I mean, you know, he did play a number of years in the league. I just hope that, you know, the commissioner can make an exception for him and B, that a team is willing to sign him even just for the remainder of the year. You know, NBA is a family, you know, got to do the right thing. That's what I'm hoping for. To kind of close out the podcast, sticking in theme with the NBA All-Star game, I saw an interesting graphic where if you were to compare 20 years, the 2004 team versus the 2024 team, West, East. I wanted to ask your opinion. Who would win in this matchup?
So it's 2000 versus 2024.
Yeah, 2004 versus 2024. Okay. Yeah, 20 year team. So for the West in 2004, your starters were Steve Francis, Kobe Bryant, Kevin Garnett, Tim Duncan, and Yao Ming. Obviously, this year we have Luka, SGA, LeBron, KD, and Jokic. In your opinion, who's winning that matchup?
Well, there is a ton of recency bias in my answer. I'm going to say 2024 wins that by a mile.
I'm not trying to you know, play devil's advocate. This is my honest answer.
Okay.
I feel like the 04 team would win. I really do. Only because, especially back then, especially during that time, like, they really cared about winning, like, defensively. I don't see Luka or SGA or LeBron or KD slowing down Kobe, if I'm being honest.
Oh, that's true. Maybe SGA. SGA could.
But on the flip side, I'd also, like, don't sleep on C. Francis. Franchise was nasty, man, for his size, what he could do. But also, you have KG, Tim Duncan, and Yao Ming. Do you know how tall that team is and how good defensively they were?
That's true.
I feel like KG would match up against KD well. You could put Yao on Jokic. You know, they would bang bodies down there. Like, I think it would be the only liability defensively for that 2004 team would be Steve Francis. But I think he was so competitive that he might be able to keep up. That's my only say. You have the 2024 team. I have the 2004 team.
Yep.
Let's go to the East. The 2004 team had Allen Iverson, Tracy McGrady, Vince Carter, Jermaine O'Neal, and Ben Wallace. 2024, you have Damian Lillard, Tyrese Halliburton, Jason Tatum, Giannis, and Embiid. As of right now, it's Embiid. Let's pretend Embiid is not injured.
Yeah.
Who wins that matchup?
That makes me more torn to choose from. I'm going to go all four for that one. I'm going to go all four because I don't like the East team this year, like our year, 2024. I'm not crazy about them. So I would say 04.
04. You know what? Prior to this exercise, I also had the 04 team winning. But my reason was no one on the 2024 team would be able to stop prime Allen Iverson,
no
prime
way. No
Tracy
chance.
McGrady, and prime Vince Carter. Like, that's a three-headed monster you don't want none of. Like, that team is nasty.
They would
cook. And then Jermaine O'Neal, in 04, Jermaine O'Neal. Yeah. That dude was they win the championship that year. If the Malice in the Palace didn't happen, they're winning that year primarily because of Jermaine O'Neal and what he could do on both sides of the ball. The only liability for that 04 team was Ben Wallace. Like, offensively, like, it's just lobs. But defensively, you know, he'll
lock down on Embiid for sure.
Yeah, for sure. The only one on the 2024 team who scares me that the 2004 team would have a hard time with would probably be Giannis.
Probably decade, to be honest.
Yeah.
Guarding Giannis, any decade would be having trouble guarding Giannis.
Valid point. That's valid.
Build the wall. That's the strategy. Just build a wall.
That's true. That's what Miami did. I knew we were going to bring a Heat culture at some point in this.
Happened years ago.
I'm glad you brought that up. I love talking about the Miami Heat, even though we suck right now. But anyway, to conclude our episode for tonight, I was wondering if you had an interesting fact for us.
I did. And, you know, it's not on the level of my last fact of the day, you know, last podcast, but I still like it, though. It's still a good fact. Did you know that Kawhi Leonard, in his illustrious career, has the same amount of finals MVPs as he does triple doubles? He has two finals MVPs and only two career triple doubles. Can you believe that? No, I'm serious. Yeah, I had no idea.
Is that true?
I know. That is true.
That is disgusting.
Per Stat Muse, that is true. Yeah. Mind blown, right?
My mind is blown. You have blown my mind, my friend.
The NBA is weird. What can we say?
That's definitely one to keep note of. That's so interesting. I never would have guessed that.
Yeah.
Makes sense, though. I can see that. Makes sense. Well, that does it for this week's podcast. Is there anything else you want to add, contribute, suggest?
I mean, just tomorrow, my Lakers play Charlotte. Easy dub on the road.
Easy.
They play Denver on Thursday. Easy dub. Watch. I'm saying it right now. Sunday night, they're going to beat Denver on Thursday. Mark my words. So when we record next week, I'll be right.
Well, before we sign off, I just want to say congratulations, because without a shadow of a doubt, you're going to beat me in fantasy this week. But I predict that even with the Joel Embiid injury, I somehow find my way into the playoffs for fantasy.
I mean, we can talk about Porzingis if you want him, you know, just for the right price.
For Joel Embiid?
Oh, no. No. Somebody active.
You sure?
You know, just like in the NBA, you can't trade an injured player. You know, same in our league. You know, same in our league.
Ben Simmons. Oh, what you thinking?
We'll see. He has a good overall game. Yeah, he's a good five category, you know, contributor. I like
first
that.
Game but back yet. We'll near triple we'll double. Hey,
we shall see, man. We'll see.
Also, I know I didn't get a chance to do it this podcast, but next week I'll give us the results of our previous podcast.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Which whose team would win? Oh, you forgot. I should have just told you my team won. But yeah, I'll have like
okay
video evidence to prove that it's not rigged or anything.
Oh like yeah, please.
But
please,
we'll do that. We'll do that for next week. I got you. Mark my words. All right, Nat. Thanks for coming on.
Good night, bro.
Later.